piping porridge. Here's to the biscuit tot. Here's to the java flowing like lava out of the coffee pot. Here's to the eggs and bacon. Here's to the waffles unique. And here's three rousing cheers for the best meal of the week. For it's Sunday morning, breakfast time, the time all men adore.
Hi, I'm John Jackson.
And I'm Greg Patent.
And we're the food guys. This is the second of our science shows about Harold McGee's wonderful writing. We mentioned that of the two books available to you, Food and Cooking and Curious Cook, that the second one is probably more accessible in every way. It's somewhat anecdotal. And he has a wonderful opening chapter on the searing truth.
The searing truth. And this is one of those truths that we always accept as a truth. And something I certainly learned as I was learning to cook, that if you seared meat, if you've treated meat on high heat first to seal in the juices and then cooked at a lower temperature until the meat was done to desired level of doneness, then this was the way to keep the juices in.
Keep all those flavors and it would be moister and more flavorful.
McGee found very simply searing meats or not searing meats, cooking some meats very gently versus searing them and then weighing them after they had been cooked. He found that the searing didn't keep the juices in any better than not searing. Part of the problem is, of course, if you have a steak. That steak was part of a much bigger muscle.
That's right.
And so that muscle was cut to get you that steak, which meant that the fibers of the muscle then are open at both ends, which means that that's an opening now for the juices to escape. And remember, when I say juices, it's water.
It's water.
Because steak is 75% water.
Yeah.
So you could think, okay, if I sear the meat, it's like cauterizing it. So on a
the
high heat, I'm
going
to seal the ends.
Yes.
So then the juices should be kept in.
Yeah.
McGee did that. And every time he did that, he'd notice that when the steak just would sit on a plate, that there'd be juices coming out.
Yeah. How does that happen? Surely we all noticed that. Somehow we managed to not think about it. McGee doesn't do that.
No.
He sees something and he says, How did that happen?
How did that happen?
So he does experiments on it.
And he explained it about the cut muscle fibers. And a quick sear will cauterize. The juices come out nevertheless because the steak may look perfectly flat on a surface. But it's not.
It's not at all.
It's not at all flat. So when you put it in contact with a pan, some of your fibers get cauterized, but others do not get cauterized. You flip the steak over on the second side, and you hear sizzle, sizzle, sizzle. And you think, oh, it's getting seared, and it's getting sealed, and my juices are all going to be kept inside the steak. Cook it a little bit longer at a lower temperature, say to a medium. Rare, of course, would be better. The rarer you cook your meat, the juicier it's going to be because the water won't come out.
Water won't come out. It won't have time for it all to leak out. Beyond that, he discovered that searing the ends of these little lengthy fibers doesn't necessarily cauterize them so much as distort them. The searing is always uneven. You're not going to be able to sear everything. And once there's any opening at all, that's going to be a fluid moving out, because what happens is those little fibers begin to contract and they squeeze out, literally.
Squeeze out
the liquid. Moisture of it. So the basic problem comes down to this. It's really how long you cook something. And it doesn't matter how you did it.
Now, we have to say something about what searing does. Searing does something magical to the proteins, amino acids, and sugars in foods. It was discovered by a French scientist, Maillard, in 1912. What he found was when you cook the surface of foods, these basic compounds get converted to hundreds of flavor compounds. You can certainly sear to create these flavors, but don't expect that the searing is going to make the food any juicier.
See, that's the critical thing right there, and that's what McGee came up with. He said, by all means, sear. We don't want you to think for a minute that you shouldn't sear. I mean, this is our message, folks. Go ahead, sear, but don't think that you're preserving juices.
The juices, no.
What you're doing is you're creating the Maillard effect.
Hundreds of wonderful flavor compounds.
And that goes back to a chapter in McGee's earlier book in which he talks about the absolute importance of cooking.
Yes.
Which we've talked about before on this show. That is that until humans began to cook their food, their life must have been extraordinarily bland. Because what happened the minute you start cooking food is that you create flavors that did not exist.
They do not exist
in the raw meat, the raw vegetable. Mm-hmm. Huge numbers of flavors begin to appear. We're only really getting to it right now here in the 21st century, getting to open up how broad, how immense the world of flavor really is. Cooking was the first step forward
right.
on it, which is a very good reason for you to come back and listen to
The Food Guys. Guys.